The 96 on City Talk 105.9.
I took it really bad personally. I just couldn't get my head around what had happened. You know, someone Lipoleco picked up. I just said to him when we were doing a memorial, I'm not bothered if I don't ever play again. What I've just gone through and what I've just seen. And he put in the Echo next day that, you know, I was going to retire, which wasn't what I said. But at that moment in time, football was the last thing on my mind. I didn't give a shite about it. It was irrelevant. You know, but thankfully, you know, with Delbert Joan and the families themselves, you know, they got me back on track. You know, so got a lot to, you know, to thank them for.
There was a big change in everything that was going on around the ground at the time. You know, you go to training, there was nothing. We always had a good laugh in training. You know, nearly every day we were in, there was something to laugh at. But now it was very subdued. People weren't bothered that much about laughing at the time. You'd say good morning to everybody. It was more a nod of the head than a good morning, how are you doing? It's great, isn't it? But it was just a nod of the head and let's get on. We'd go do a bit of training. But it was funny when we went, one morning we went training and Ronnie Moran went, he had a meeting and he said, listen, he said, it's happened. You know, there's not a lot we can do about it now. You're footballers, you get paid to be footballers. Let's sort your heads out and let's get back to playing football and trying to go on and win the league and win the cup.
But after a while, you're speaking to the families and everything and you're wondering when you've got to play. And it was good because they were consulted of when we were to first play. And I think the first game was up in Scotland. And you just wondered, how can you go back onto a football pitch? Well, is it all worth it? Whatever. But once the family started saying, you need to, this is Liverpool Football Club, we would like you, and give our permission, we want you to carry on. We want you to be, you know, we are Liverpool Football Club. You know, we shall rise from the ashes, and this will be.
I always remember the biggest game of my life in many ways was the replay of that game. I was worried whether Ian Rush was going to take my place, and I couldn't train for a while. I couldn't motivate myself. I got up in the morning, I just couldn't get my head round. And then Jones said, look, you better get yourself. So my wife was brilliant, she pulled me through it. And then I got letters off, we got letters off people who'd lost loved ones. Come on, you get out there and you do it for them. And that was a little bit of motivation, what you needed. But the biggest, not the final for me, was the biggest game, is the semis. The replay of that match at Old Trafford. I scored two goals and biggest two goals ever in my career.
Driven in diagonally long towards the head of John Barnes. Bit of a confusion inside the box. Barnes with a volley. Brilliant save by Sutton. Aldridge with a header. It's there. Liverpool in front. 3.5 minutes gone. John Aldridge gets the goal. Houghton on the right-hand side from the short corner. Barnes just inside the box. Houghton chips it in. Bees is there. It's there. It's Johnny Aldridge again. 2-1. It had to come. It was inevitable.
That night, I went out of control. I had a few drinks. And I went like an absolute lunatic, raving lunatic. Don't know why. I went like an absolute lunatic. I always remember. Don't know what it was, but it was something that needed to get out of my system and started smashing things up and going like a lunatic.
You just knew. The passion of the players, the passion of the fans, was just unbreakable. And you knew there was only going to be one winner. I'm sorry, but that is the way it was. And, you know, Nottingham Forest were the ones who were there in the way and they were there to be beaten.
Into Aldridge, just inside the penalty area. Control, played for Pearcey, rolled square, it's got it off Laws! 3-1! An own goal by Brian Laws! That must tie it up!
We had things to do for the people who died. And that's the way, that was always in, I think, everybody's mind at the football club. You know, yeah, wanting to win the leagues and wanting to do everything, but that was the most important thing. The FA Cup, they'd gone to that game to see us progress, and we wanted to win that game, and it seemed as though playing Everton in the final, as though it was written, you know, that it should be a Merseyside occasion for everybody to unite.
I think that was to fit an FA Cup final, wasn't it? After Hillsborough. The whole city of Liverpool again. Going down to Wembley. Everybody in front of the televisions. The city's like a ghost town. Everybody's left the city or in the houses watching the TV. And you wouldn't have wanted a different team in the cup final. Because it was what... The Evertonians were magnificent as well after Hillsborough. The players, the supporters. And it was sad anybody had to lose on the day because everybody had been so good in the aftermath of Hillsborough. But I suppose it was in the stars that it was going to be Liverpool on that afternoon.
That is the one we wanted to win. Of course, we wanted to win the league and do the double, and of course it didn't happen. But nevertheless, I think that if we had to choose, and as much as the league, you know, in my opinion, is the most important thing, I suppose in that particular year, if you had to choose what to win because of the circumstances, the FA Cup would have been it.
There was a thought that we have to win this game. You know, no matter how well or what Everton do, we have got to do more and better. We have to win this game. Somehow we've got to win the game. We cannot walk away losing after Hillsborough.
That day when we played against Everton, we thought, well, OK, it's for the city of Liverpool.
You look back and it was a cup final like you're never going to get, hopefully, again. After Hillsborough, the whole city had come together. And now they're all together at Wembley. You wonder what the atmosphere is going to be like as you're getting ready and you're leaving the hotel and all that. You're wondering, will the atmosphere be surreal? Will it be the same atmosphere you get in a cup final? How will fans react to each other? How will players react to each other because of what's gone on?
High forward towards McMahon. He's made a good run from the back. He's got beyond Kevin Ratcliffe. He's fed it square. Aldridge with a great chance. 1-0. John Aldridge. 4 minutes gone. A dream goal. It's his 30th goal of the season. It's the most important of his life. In towards Ian Rush. Near post, trying to turn. He's done it. Well, he just never disappoints, does he? You've just got to show him a blue shirt and he responds. And Ian Rush breaks Dixie Dean's record with what could turn out to be the most famous derby goal of them all. Isn't it amazing how the goals have fallen to Aldridge, who so desperately wanted one after last year, to Rush, who so desperately wanted one after his nightmare. And he's in here again from Barnes' cross, and he's done it again. He's got another. It's Ian Rush. And Liverpool go back in front.
I'm quite sure Ronnie, when he was lifting that, he was fantastic. It's a great personal moment as a captain to raise the trophy. But I know where his mind will have wandered.
You've done it, and now it's a huge weight off your shoulders. And then to go up the steps and be handed a trophy, it's just there's a relief. Great, yeah, we've won a game, but what a game we've won! The game itself, magnificent. What it was about, it was just a relief that it was over. We'd done it
because it had been a bit of a roller coaster since the 15th, and to play in the final and everything, it had been difficult for the players. It wasn't easy for them to go out there and get themselves focused. But that's why I was saying they are such a good team. Is that with everything that had gone on, they could actually still for those 90 minutes. Give the fans something to hold on to. And that's what it was all about. And I think that's what drove people on.
You know, great, done it for everybody who's died, and you done it for the families and everybody else, which was right, really. And that really was the way we tried to do it. That was first and foremost, most in our thoughts, to win it for the people who died and make some sort of, I don't know what, some sort of reason why they died, if you can find a reason why they died. They went to see Liverpool play a semi-final and hopefully go on and win the final, and then fortunately we did go on and win the final. After the event, you realise, you watch the game, and it was a different level of Merseyside in that game.
Can you hear that? The two fans chanting together, Merseyside. Well, that is what a fitting finale to this wonderful occasion. The Liverpool and Everton fans at opposite ends of Wembley Stadium.
It's a joke, wasn't it? You know, even to this day. You know, people, you know, parents have died not knowing the truth.
you know, of what's happened to people who, you know. And it's never going to come out now, though, is it? You know, we can try, you know. They've done the job and they've done it well. They kept it away from Peter Powers, that be. And, you know, and people say, well, say, you know, they should be forgetting about it now. Would they forget it? Would they forget about it if it was their relative, if it was their son or daughters or whoever? Would you forget? You wouldn't forget about that. You'd always fight the cause. You'd always try to get justice. But unfortunately, I don't think we're ever going to get it, are we?
What sickens me is the papers the next day and the headlines in some of the papers. I wouldn't say all of them, but the genuine headlines that they put out. Scouse come rob and pee on the dead. Please do yourself a favour. They weren't robbing anybody. And that's when I had a fallout with one certain newspaper.
You see the paper now, and you know, if you see the paper on the floor, you walk past it. You wouldn't even pick it up and put it in the bin. You know, that's, you know, what he came out and said, that man, won't even say his name, was utter disgrace. My dad watched what happened when it unfolded. My dad seen there was no pickpocketing. I wouldn't even say what he stated. My dad seen it all and said it was a disgrace. My dad seen everything when it unfolded. It was like a battlefield, nothing else.
That is the biggest crime. That is the biggest crime. Do people just think that they can just sweep this, that sooner or later, even 20 years on, that is just going to go away? This is 96 people died. Somebody has to be held accountable. And there was claim and counterclaim by people who were not fit to wear uniforms and sort of coming out and just sort of trying to brush it under the carpet as though, it'll turn. And like if I resign or something like that, it'll help it. It's not getting an answer to how and why, and it all come together. They just want the answers. People can't move on.
I still feel for the people that have lost people in that disaster. I mean, I can sit down and think and reflect and for 2 or 3 minutes, and every so often, it's once a month, I can reflect on what happened, and I feel terribly, terribly sad. I only feel sad for 3 minutes and my life goes on, whereas these people, they've got it forever more.
Nobody could ever complain about the families of those people who just want to know exact the truth.
It can't go away. You know, it's the biggest disaster in football, isn't it? You know, and you can't forget things like that. Liverpool Football Club will never forget it. Obviously, the fans of Liverpool will it won't go away. You know, whilst we're here on this earth, you know, every year, people will never forget what happened, you know, even. You know, when we're all gone, it'll carry on. And it should do as well.
We want the truth. The whole of Merseyside, all these families and everything, they want the truth still after 20 years. And I just think, I often wonder to myself how the families carry on. How they really do. But maybe that's what the people want, is that how do they carry on? They'll forget. This will all go away, this will fail. But they fail to remember what has driven this football club to be the best football club in world football. And it is. It doesn't matter what goes on down the East Lancs at Old Trafford. We are a proper football club, and that's what makes us special. And that's why these people deserve answers.
Every year is a milestone. But 20 years down the line, it brings back a lot of sad memories for everybody, families, and players, City. 20 years is a big one. I think it will be a sad occasion, but everybody has got to be. I think we've all got to do our best to be there and remember what happened.
I hear people still clamouring now for standing areas. Even some of our own. What in standing areas? I think, do you not remember? Do you not remember what happened? And they say, oh, it's only going to be a small area and, you know, we have the right and everything. Not one more person it should never cost them their lives with going to watch a football match.
You can never go back to that. People are always saying a better atmosphere and all that. when one life's endangered, that's bad enough. When 96, it's a scene from hell, and you can never go back. You know, when you talk about legacies, yeah, I think the legacy is the football's a lot safer place now. You know, all over the world because of 96 people suffered. But certainly, you know, you can go to the game now knowing you're wanting the stadium. You know, please God, you know, you're safe as houses now.
It was our fans who lost their lives. I think that should make everybody say no standing enclosures at all, no matter how small, because I don't want after somebody at some other football club have to go through anything like what we did on that fateful day.
The 96 on City Talk 105.9.